Welcome to the
Full Heart
Free Voice
Podcast.
I'm Emma Veritas. I'm a writer and writing coach for women who want to start writing. And I'm a teacher for women who want to find their true selves again.
And I'm Caitlin Bosshart, a life coach for the multi-passionate at heart and wedding coach for couples planning non-traditional weddings. We read books that inspire you to live with a full heart
and a free voice.
Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for joining me for a very special bonus episode. It is still so hard for me to believe that we are coming to the end of our journey together of reading Women Who Runs With The Wolves and this very first season of the podcast. If you're caught up on the podcast, you've heard our book club and life school episodes for the last chapter of the book, but we aren't quite ready to wrap up this season just yet. Because over the last few months, as the end of the book was approaching, Emma and I were talking about the ways that we wanted to wrap up this season of the podcast. And one of the things that we were both very clear on is that it felt incomplete without talking with one of you, our listeners. After all, our podcast would not be what it is without each of you. You've had the opportunity to hear all about Emma and I's experience of our deep dive into the book, but we thought it would be really amazing to also hear the perspective of someone on the listening end of the podcast. So we have asked one of our listeners and a very good friend of mine, Micah Jasky, to join me today for a special interview, and I'm so excited to share her experience of the book and the season of the podcast with you all. So Micah, welcome to the podcast. I'm just so excited that you're here.
Hi, thank you. I'm so excited too. I remember talking about this podcast with you, actually podcasts in general, before this podcast even was a twinkle in your eye. And it's really fun to be here.
That is so true. I was actually thinking about that this morning, how I think it was maybe even a year before we even started the podcast or even talking about the podcast, you had come to me. You're like, I have this great idea. I think you should start a podcast. And I was like, no. I think I gave you like 500 excuses for why I shouldn't start a podcast. So
me trying to live vicariously through you, because I have some like very vague dream of doing a podcast, but I'm also a technophobe. So I was just trying to get someone out there who I'm close to do it so that I could live vicariously.
I love that. Well, I just wanted to, first of all, thank you so much, because I do think that you actually bringing that idea to me before this podcast came to happen really helped, like planted that seed and helped open me up to this whole idea. So thank you. You actually are very much an important part of this whole journey. So it's even more special that you're here for this listener interview.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
So before we dive in, I would love for you just to tell our listeners a little bit about you. You do so many different things. You're such an amazing person. I'm so inspired by you. And I would really love for them to get a sense of who you are.
Aw, I'm blushing. Yes, I do many things. I was trying to think about how to give the quick little synopsis of me, and I just don't think it exists. So I'm Micah. I'm an herbalist. I'm a yoga teacher. I'm a homesteader. I am a knitter. I read obsessively. In fact, Caitlin has pointed out to me that I would never not have a book with me. I'm a home birth midwife assistant. I'm training to be a birth doula. And I'm sure there are things that I have forgotten. Caitlin, you might have to help me out a little bit.
You are a Reiki practitioner and also teacher.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Yep, that too.
You are.
I am a true multi-passionate at heart. How about that?
You are. She is. She absolutely is a multi-passionate at heart. As you can see, she does so many different things. And what's so cool is so many of your interests really weave into one another. Like you grow a lot of the plants that you then, or in wild harvest, a lot of the plants that you then turn into medicine that you then integrate when you're doing you know, work with clients who need herbs to heal something. And then you do Reiki with them and mix that with the herbs and do yoga with people in addition. And, you know, like there's just, you intersect all of your passions in such cool and amazing ways.
That's a perfect moment to say that I'm also soon going to be weaving, like actually weaving on a loom, because I was recently gifted a loom. And there's something about that that feels very spiritual to me and my work, and just like weaving all of these different threads together and trying to bring some of it into more coherence. So I'm so excited about that.
So tell me a little bit more about why you think the loom feels so important as a spiritual practice, because it also makes me think of like a wild woman practice.
Well, yeah. You know, it is a motif that shows up in so many stories, and whether by surprise or design, those stories are the ones that really speak to me extra deeply. But just this old ancient practice that so many women have done before throughout history and in our ancestry, of weaving these threads and making, you know, something beautiful, but also something that is useful, that you use and that really affects the quality of your life. And I don't know, I haven't even gotten to really do it yet, but it is something that my soul, I think, has been wanting me to do for quite a while now. So I am super excited, and I definitely expect it to be a meditative practice of bringing those things from the edges in and weaving them and seeing what comes of it.
That just stands out as so much of the message of what Women Who Runs With the Wolves is all about, is feeling those tugs from the soul and listening to them. And how it's like, it makes me think of how we, you know, pull these things together into something useful. It's also like pulling things together into stories that then transform our lives and our perspectives and our, you know, really change us from the inside out in very useful and practical ways, just like something that you might make on a loom.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Let's talk about the book. I want to know from you, what is your experience and your history with this book, Women Who Runs With the Wolves?
Well, I bet like many other people out there, I had a copy that I carried around with me from house to house, apartment to apartment for many years, and never really made it past, I don't remember which chapter, but it was early on. And I finally decided it was time to let it go. It wasn't the book for me. And so I took it to a used bookstore or something, and a few years passed and I kept thinking about it, and like I couldn't quite remember that I had given it away. So I would constantly go back to my bookshelf and look for it and feel frustrated until I remembered that I had given it away. And then it wasn't until I was visiting you in Colorado and you were starting this podcast, I believe, and I remember going to different bookstores with you trying to find it, used bookstores. And I think we ended up at Bazaar Bazaar, which is this great little used bookshop in Fort Collins. And I found a copy, and that's the copy I have here. And it even, I know it's from Bazaar Bazaar because it has the writing in the corner of the front page. And then that's when I finally got serious about reading it.
You know, I completely forgot that you found the book again in Fort Collins. I completely forgot about that. It's really fun.
Yep.
I love it. So, okay. So when you're saying that you finally got serious about it, so tell me a little bit more about, like, you know, how did you feel about the book before? And then how do you feel like that your approach and sort of relationship to the book this time might have shifted?
Well, you know, the introduction is so powerful and so, like, it draws you right in, and then it starts to get hard pretty quickly. And bring up all of these pieces that you might want to look at for yourself. And it's story and it's deep work. And I think I didn't have anyone else who was reading it when I first tried to read it around me. Nobody was talking about story as medicine, which I've found to be a very inspiring phrase. And I don't mean it as just a phrase, but as a concept. Every time I was avoiding the book, I would think, no, but story is medicine. And it just hits so true and so deep. And so that would draw me back to it. And more than once over the course of this podcast, I've kind of talked to you and said, oh, I'm stuck. And you've recommended skipping ahead and I can't do it. I just can't. I can't bring myself to. So there were some long stretches there where I would very slowly work through a chapter. But then, I don't know, I did stop taking it quite as seriously, and that helped. You know, I would have all these rules, like I couldn't read it unless I had a pen with me so I could underline everything. And I decided to let some of that go and just read it. And if it was that important, I would come back to it later. And I usually did, but it helped to let go of some of the rules.
So I love that, that you were letting go of some of those rules. And where do you think that some of those rules that you had around this book, where did they come from?
My mind. Nobody ever told them to me. I'm really good at creating a lot of rules for myself, especially when something I'm excited about something, and it's something good for me. And so it's like taking this thing that could be, you know, more of a ritual and turning it into a routine. Like there's this loss of magic, this like trying to make it fit into a certain prescribed format. And I was totally doing that with this book. Like I was making it so much harder than it needed to be for me to just be in these stories and be in the medicine that they are.
It sounds like even through this book and having that realization of all these rules, all these constraints, all these, you know, things that we, you know, are maybe on some level taught around how you're supposed to do things, if you really care about them and if you're really going to learn or you're really whatever, that it became almost like your own wild woman practice to be like, I'm not going to have a pen and I'm going to read this whenever I want. And like, you know, just to actually give yourself a lot more like almost like fluidity, like kind of stepping more almost into that more feminine energy around how to move through this book. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No, you're totally right. The one thing that I could never quite get past, though, is doing things in order. I couldn't skip around. And you know what? That's okay, because that's what works for me.
Exactly. And a little bit of a confession is that, you know, Emma's probably gonna be laughing as she's listening to this, because she also had the same advice for me. And I was like, I can't skip chapters. But now that I've read through it, I can totally see how, yeah, you can skip a chapter. Each of these chapters can kind of be a standalone. But that was also that was definitely a rule that I had for myself when I first started reading the book and then set it down. As our listeners know, that I didn't, this is my first time reading the whole thing through. So actually, that actually is my next question for you. Yeah. So you've read the book now all the way through. Is that right?
I have read the book now all the way through. Yep. It felt like such an accomplishment to like actually put it on my shelf, knowing that it was done and not just like semi-abandoned for a while.
What do you think that like, what is that meant to you to be able to do that?
I just think about, you know, myself 10 years ago, picking up this book and like how much I have changed as a person in that decade. And no, I was not reading this book for a decade, but there was a piece of me that always, I don't know, always thought back to it. Like there's something magic in this book, you know? There's something, it's like I knew there was something really important for me in it, or many important things. And to really allow myself whatever I needed to be able to access that has been a really, like, what an act of self-care. Like, as I talk about it now, I see that.
And I think that, you know, your story and I think my story with the book is really common. I hear about that all the time from listeners. And we have listeners that like, I just can't read this and I'm just going to listen to the podcast. And that is 100% okay. But we each kind of have our journey with this book, and it's going to, you know, take as long as it needs to take, or you get what you need out of it. And maybe you do. So maybe somebody does donate it and they never look back and they feel okay with it. But I think there are other people that do continually feel drawn back to it, like you did. And I felt similarly. It felt like this nice, it felt really good to feel sort of complete, at least this round. I'm sure actually I will pick up this book again many, many times, but to have actually read it all the way through.
Yeah. And as you've been doing this podcast, I've actually asked a couple of friends around me if they've read it, and they both have had the same story of they had it for years, they never really finished it, they've always thought about it, and oh, can I borrow your copy? And I've had to say no because I've been reading it, but now I can actually hand it off to someone else.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love that. So now we know a little bit about your experience with the book, but I'm curious, you know, what has been your experience of the podcast? Like, I'm kind of wondering how you approached reading and listening and sort of what that whole experience was like for you.
Probably no surprise. It was a little bit linear. I would not let myself listen to the podcast until I had finished a chapter, even though you both gave copious amounts of permission for me to do it in a different order, but I couldn't. So I would, at the beginning, I would like try and read a chapter and really, you know, focus my energy in that direction so that I could listen to your podcast the day it came out. And then I got stuck on, I don't even remember which chapter. And then I just kind of downloaded every episode and never let myself listen to them. And then now that I'm saying it, I think I did skip that chapter just long enough to read the next one. And it like got me back into it. And then I went back and finished the one that I was stuck on. So I would read and then I would listen pretty consistently. And well, I love the podcast, just throwing that out there.
Thank you. What would you say to a listener who is feeling similarly, that they're stuck on a chapter and not feeling like they can move on?
Do what I say and not what I do and just skip it. There's so much more magic in this book to be found, and it's not worth the mental whatever somersaults you're going through of, oh, I have to finish this chapter. Like, you really don't. I wish I could take my own advice.
Well, and I think sometimes like there are chapters that are not really for us right now. You know, or it's like it doesn't resonate, and that's okay. Or maybe it's like,
absolutely,
maybe the thing that the lesson in there, it's like you're just not ready for it. You're just like, I don't want to be in this space right now, and continue moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And I think there are chapters in the book that are exactly that for me. And you know, I don't think I got what I could have out of them by forcing myself to read it and forcing myself to try and find the resonance. I think it would have been a lot better to just kind of go more with the flow and come back to those chapters when I feel called.
I think that's beautiful wisdom. I love that. So as you read the book this time, and I guess it could also be from before, but are there any key things that you saw really change in your life that you feel was really directly related to reading the book and listening to the podcast?
It brought story magic very much to the forefront of my life. And maybe it was just the lens that I was viewing things through, but I think it was more than that. I think this idea of story as medicine and story as self-work and growth is really, really powerful. And it showed up in a lot of other places in my life pretty quickly after more or less committing myself to this book. Like I wanted to work through it. I wanted to show up for it and show up for the process. And then story medicine showed up in a lot of other places too. And I always love it when that happens. But there's one story in particular that I could share about if you want.
Please. Yes. We'd love to hear.
So the story of the handless maiden, I heard it at a storytelling event after this podcast had started, and I didn't even know it was in this book, to be honest, because I hadn't looked ahead. And that story, like, I felt like I was crawling out of my skin the whole time I was listening to it, and I couldn't stand it. And I just, like, it stuck with me like a thorn in my foot of like, ugh. Just no, there's so many things wrong, and it just bothered me so much. And then I later, like about 6 months later, a session, like a 3-week workshop came up working just specifically with that story from a different storyteller. And all of that came right back up. This like, ugh, crawling out of my skin. I don't want to ever do anything like that, even though no one was telling me I needed to. But just like this very strong reaction. And then when you first talked to me about this podcast, I thought that that was the chapter we were going to be talking about. And I was like, ugh, three times now, this story, like three is a magical number and there's something for me in this story. And I was very grumbly about it. And then I was resistant to reading the chapter. And then I finally did, and it's beautiful, and I love it, and there's still a lot of things in that story that get under my skin, but wow, what a different message a year later from the first time I heard it told, to come away with of this journey of a woman's life. And looking at my reaction to the story a year apart, my reactions a year apart, and seeing the growth for myself to see it from such a different place was really, I mean, it was just story magic.
What do you think, like, how did you see that show up in your life? Like, can you think of like a, was there a tangible way that you saw it up? I mean, or saw it show up, like, even if it is intangible, but then, you know, did it change how you interacted with, I don't know, some aspect of your life or who you are?
You know, yes, I would say I've also been doing a lot of inner work around the stories I tell myself, and the stories that I believe about myself and my past. And I think the working through those and untangling them is bringing so much freedom. And I think that is directly related to seeing the power of story through this book and through other outlets of the story medicine.
Are there, and if you're not comfortable sharing this, it's totally okay, but I'm wondering if there's like a particular story that you've been telling yourself that you saw yourself untangle.
Yeah, I think I do have one. I have always had this underlying story that was very subtle, and so it was kind of hard to parse out, but this story that at some point, my body was going to fail me in some way. For example, I have bad knees because my aunt has bad knees and my grandma has bad knees, and it's just the way it is. It's the way it will always be. And I've been questioning that so much more. I don't take it as truth anymore. You know, the truth is that I had an injury to my knee and then it healed. Like, that's the actual story. The story is not, I have bad knees and I'm going to need a knee replacement by the time I'm, you know, in my 60s, because that's what happened to other people in my family. And you think about the energy behind telling yourself that sort of story for so long and just realizing how many things I didn't even bother trying to do because, oh, I have bad knees. It's just, it's so subtle and it seems so small, but you think about the cumulative effect of that. I mean, that changes lives.
Oh, absolutely. And I feel like you could apply that same type of thing, like whether it's your knees or something to do with the work that you do in the world and how we might cut ourselves off from something. And we keep telling ourselves the same thing over and over and over again. It may not be true. Oh, that's really interesting. I love that. So, well, is there anything else about like the Handless Maiden that you want to share? Because I want to, like, I know this has been a challenging, story for you, but is there anything else that you want to share before I ask my next question?
You know, the first time I heard it, I was so fixated on how passive she was, how helpless, how she just let her father make these decisions for her, how she just let him cut off her hands. And I was so focused on that piece of it that I was blinded to every other part of it.
She seemed so willing to just let all of these terrible things happen to her. And obviously, I can say this now because I've worked with it. It was quite the projection from myself of I felt so, right? I felt so
at the whim of other forces at the time, and that I was just constantly in this state of reacting to the outside world rather than even having the space to like take the breath and respond, much less change what was happening. And so chances are that that story was so triggering to me at the time because it was so much of what was happening for myself. And now, this last time I read through it, I saw so much more the way that she moved through all of these things with so much grace and so much trust and so much willingness to just keep going. And I mean, what a different reading, right?
Right. Well, and I think with the Handless Maiden, and I've also like had major reactions to some of these stories, especially there's so much violence in them. And it's like, I'm like, okay, does there have to be more violence against women in every single story? But reading this one and realizing that all the different parts or characters basically in that story are part of the psyche, was like such a, it really like shifted my perspective on like, oh, here's how like I do those things in my life to myself, you know? And it's a powerful, powerful story. So on the other side of this, so I know that this was like the dreaded chapter and story for you in a lot of ways, but were there chapters or episodes that you felt like that you really loved, that really kind of like lit you up in a different way instead of feeling like, oh, I'm kind of grinding through this story and trying to be like, what is in here for me? Was there anything that just like actually was sort of a favorite?
Yeah, I've got two. I loved the chapter on creativity, although the story did not speak to me in quite the same heart space. And then the story, her retelling of the Ugly Duckling, is one of my most favorite stories I've ever heard.
Yeah. So what is it about those ones that you really loved?
I just remember feeling so charmed by that version of the Ugly Duckling. And maybe it was just that it had so much more depth than I'd ever heard before. So many more details. And even though, you know, you feel really bad for this poor little duckling, Swan Gosling, it was just charming too at the same time. And of course, you know how it ends and you know it's going to be okay. Maybe that was part of it. I knew that one was going to be okay at the end. But then the chapter, I just felt so seen and so like held, almost like in a big hug of like, yeah, we do find our tribe. We really do. And the creativity chapter, I mean, I love anything and everything about creativity. So,
yeah, I mean, as you know, I loved that chapter as well. So, you know, because I know you are a super creative person, you are a maker in so many different ways. Yeah. Like you said, you knit and you make a canned food and you make herbal, you know, remedies. And I mean, you do so many different things. So in the creativity chapter, what about that chapter sort of stood out for you in terms of your own creativity?
I loved how she addressed creative blocks. You know, I had never heard it presented that way before as poisoning the waters. And it was especially poignant because I had a dream not that long before reading it of that had to do with rivers and creativity and veins. Actually, like I had was pouring my blood into a river in the form of writing, and it was going out into this whole landscape and lighting everything up. And then reading this chapter and how those waters can be poisoned, and I was feeling so stagnant, and I just all of those metaphors of water just hit me just right in the heart. And it was just a different way to look at those ebbs and flows of creativity, and also recognizing when it isn't just an ebb and a flow, when it's more of a blockage or a poisoning or what are you putting in sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. So, and I think this is one of the things that we forgot to introduce you as is a writer. You're also a writer. It's a very big part of who you
yes.
are.
And, yes, we did forget that bit.
And how do you feel like you've maybe, you know, and I know it's we all have these journeys with these different parts of our creativity, but is there, you know, a way that you've begun to, you know, clean up your river, the toxins in your river when it comes to your writing?
Yes, absolutely. I back to those rules I create for myself. I have been plucking those out left and right and feeding them to the fire because all they do is block me. They make it impossible for me to do anything from my soul because it has to be the perfect time of day and no one else has to be awake and, you know, 17 other criteria. So I have been dismantling those rules and letting myself sink into this more feminine strength, this wild woman way of looking at it, of answering the call when it comes, but then also being strong enough to not just wait for the call, but to also do a little digging and a little searching and seeing where that leads.
Oh, I love that. Oh, beautiful, Micah. I love it so much. I mean, it's so cool. It's such like, I mean, like, you know, reading through this book and just realizing, you know, all the rules, like you're saying, all the rules that we put around our lives and how we show up and our creative works and things like that. And that literally feeding it to the fire and connecting yes. with our own flow is so much of what this book is about. You know, that's kind of one of those major threads that is literally woven throughout this entire book.
Yep.
So, well, I want to hear if there are, you know, any quotes that really stood out to you. But first, I just want to give you the opportunity. Is there anything else that you just want to say about your experience with this, the book, the podcast, anything else that you want to share before we talk about quotes?
I think that this book is, it lends itself to a very long and slow read. I think that if you can look at it as a spiritual practice almost, and not necessarily spiritual, but self-care practice, internal work practice, if you can take it as this long-term process and reading a chapter and letting that story really work in your life for a little while before moving on, it is incredibly powerful. And the way your podcasts allowed for that slow pace forced me to slow down because I tend to read things really quickly. It was a really beautiful gift. So I remember at one point, I think, saying something to the effect of, I wish your podcast was every week. I'm glad it's not now because it forced me to slow down.
Also, Emma and I are glad it wasn't too, because we'd be, it's a lot. It's a lot to try to do every other week even. But I'm so glad that the pacing really served you in that way. I think what you said is so powerful, and it's such a good reminder even for me, because I think there were times of just like, almost like wanting to be, well, I think, you know, there was a little bit of me like, I'm afraid we're not going to actually get to the end. Like, in terms of like, are we going to lose steam and like somehow, you know, not finish the podcast, you know, which we are. And we, you know, we're like almost there in terms yeah. of this season. And we are coming back. But how like, it really is important that it's read slowly. Otherwise you miss a lot.
Yeah. And I suspect it's true that it's invaluable to read it more than once as well, but only Emma knows the answer to that out of the three of us.
Exactly. Yeah, Emma, she can, I mean, she's definitely spoken to the power of reading this over and over. You know, actually what you just said, and I actually want to recommend this to all of our listeners to read the afterword in the book. Have you read this by chance?
Let me look. I can't remember. I might have been so anxious to be done that I skipped it. Let's see.
So while you're looking, I do want to share this part, because when I read the afterword, I was like, oh, this is hard for a reason. I actually just want to share this quote. I wasn't planning to do this, but everything you said just reminded me of this. It says, "To my mind, story in every way possible thrives only on hard work, intellectual, spiritual, familial, physical, and integral. It never comes easy. It is never just picked up or studied in one's off times. Its essence cannot be born nor maintained in air-conditioned comfort. It cannot grow to any depth in an enthusiastic but non-committed mind. Neither can it live in gregarious but shallow environs. Story cannot be studied. It is learned through assimilation, through living in its proximity with those who know it, live it, and teach it. More so through all the day-to-day mundane tasks, much more than the clearly ceremonial times."
It's so beautiful.
It's so beautiful. And I read this and I'm like, this is supposed to be hard. This is not supposed to be something mm-hmm. that we can just like flippantly, you know, read through and not sit and process and grapple with and get activated by these stories and have conflict with them. You know, it's like that's part of it, because it's bringing up all these different parts of ourselves.
Yes. Oh, so beautiful.
So yes, recommend reading the afterword. I think to me it like put this beautiful kind of it helped me understand the intentionality behind the entire book and the structure of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I just love that idea of it being a part of your everyday life, it metabolizing into you, it these stories really working on you on that deep cellular way, because it's so true. They totally do.
Yeah. And I love that she talks about how, you know, it's like a lot of like diving into these stories. It is about going into the underground, going into the spiritual life. But then we have to bring that to the topside world. We have to live that in the moments where we're cleaning the dishes, or, you know, doing our everyday work, working in the garden. Like these things can show up. It doesn't have to be separate, which I think is like such a cool part that she teaches in this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want to hear from some of the quotes that really stood out to you while you were reading the book.
So this first one was actually one of my most favorite quotes ever before I even knew it was from this book. and unsurprisingly, it's about creativity. So it's in that Clear Water chapter. "I've seen women work long, long hours at jobs they despise in order to buy very expensive items for their houses, mates, or children, and put their considerable talents on the back burner. I've seen women insist on cleaning everything in the house before they could sit down to write. And you know, it's a funny thing about house cleaning. It never comes to an end. Perfect way to stop a woman."
It gives me chills.
I'm obsessed with that quote.
Yeah. So tell us about why that quote really spoke to you.
I found it in a book called The Writer's Eye by actually a professor here in Decorah. And I read it shortly after I had spent a good hour and a half doing dishes, folding laundry, finding every conceivable task I could find. And then I was too tired to sit down and be creative, to write, in fact. And so I was like, I'll just read this book about writing instead. And that quote slapped me in the face. And it just, it's so true, isn't it? It's so easy to find all of these things to stop us and distract us. And as women, I think we aren't often taught to go beyond that. And it's just such a thing that we all face and deal with and have to wrestle with within ourselves. And it's it does come down to ourselves very much. There's not a whole lot of people out there who are going to say, no, go do this thing that lights up your soul and leave the dishes in the sink. But I wish there were more people that said that.
Me too. Maybe that should be the new like slogan. Like, leave the dishes and go do the thing that lights you up, that makes, like, sets your soul on fire. So after hearing that quote, or having it, you know, like you said, like, having that quote slap you in the face, where do you see that quote starting to show up in your life?
Oh, I see it most mornings. I try to do the morning pages from The Artist's Way, because it's been a practice that has really been amazing for me for many years, and it ebbs and flows. But when it's ebbing, it's usually I'll come downstairs and, oh, I can just put away this one dish full of sinks, or one sink full of dishes first. Or, oh, there's just this one basket of laundry that I could fold. And it's this constant, that quote is a reminder to put myself and my creativity first, because in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter if the laundry gets folded in the afternoon instead of the morning. It can sit there all day. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. Yes.
It's going to be okay.
Yes. That actually, you know, that was actually something my mom said. I remember when I was a kid, and I don't remember the exact scenario, but it was something about how she was like, you know what? The house can be dirty. Like, let's go, like, let's go live our lives. Like, let's go do something fun. Like, the vacuuming can wait. And as a kid, I was like, wow, that, yes, like, priorities are straight. So thank you, Mom. You also, it was like very much this wisdom of, like, you know, because I think you're right. There is this battling between, like, trying to, like, maintain these mundane tasks. So it's like this, there's all these nuances, because on one hand, it's like, how do we live, like, our inner wisdom and our, be our truest selves, even in the mundane tasks. And then also, how do we know when the mundane tasks are becoming the distraction? And so we have to be very sensitive and tuned in to what's happening in which moment.
Yes, that sensitivity and that being tuned in, I think, is the key, because there are definitely times where, you know, doing the chores are the thing that I need to do. Tending to my home is a spiritual practice sometimes in and of itself. Like, it is this act of love. But also sometimes it is a shield that I hide behind.
And the question that pops up for me is, like, why am I doing this right now? Am I doing this because it is, I'm doing this from a space, or the intentionality of it being an act of love, or am I doing it out of a space of avoidance, hiding, you know, whatever is our story underneath of why we're doing that, instead of what we really want to be doing in that moment?
That's a really powerful question.
So is there anything else about this quote? Because I want to hear if you have any others for us.
I don't think there's anything else about that one, and I'm peeking through to see which other one I would love to share. To bring us back to that very first chapter, which I think I might actually reread after we finish this podcast recording, because now that I've finished the book, I have a feeling this first chapter will speak to me differently. But this is one of my favorite quotes from it. The wild woman carries the bundles for healing. She carries everything a woman needs to be and know. She carries the medicine for all things. She carries stories and dreams and words and songs and signs and symbols. She is both vehicle and destination.
So tell us about this quote. What is it about this one for you?
It's just this sweet, beautiful reminder that we have everything we need inside of us. We've just got to remember that.
Yes, I think that is the reminder that we all need. I think it's so beautiful to just let us land in that moment and in that reminder. So Micah, thank you so much for being willing to come into the podcast, for coming along on this journey with us, for sharing your experience. This has been so fun to have this conversation. I know we've talked about this some throughout the podcast, but I've heard so many things today that I didn't actually know or know to the depth. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing. I do want for our listeners, if they are interested in connecting with you, learning more about the work that you do in the world, how can they connect with you?
Thank you so much for having me on, Caitlin. It feels like such a perfect bookmark, pardon the pun, in that I was with you when I found the book and now I get to help close out your podcast. So thank you. Mm-hmm. I feel very, very special and very lucky. And as for how people can find me, I go in and out of phases of technophobia, but I do have Instagram and Facebook, and you can find me at Root to Rise Holistic Wellness on those two. Or you can email me at roottoriseholisticwellness@gmail.com.
Wonderful. And we will have all the links to connect with Micah in our show notes. We just want to thank you all so much for tuning in for this bonus episode. And we actually are not quite done. We have one more because Emma and I can't help ourselves. We have one more episode for all of you until we take a couple month break. And then we will be back this fall with a new book. So again, if you have any suggestions, if there's any books that you really are called to, that you really want us to read that have helped you live with a full heart and a free voice, you can email us at fullheartfreevoicepodcast@gmail.com. We love your suggestions. And as always, you know, stay in touch with us. Please share with us what you've gotten out of the podcast. We love to hear from you. So again, you can email us at the same email, fullheartfreevoicepodcast@gmail.com. Connect with us on Instagram at fullheart_freevoice_podcast. And of course, you can join the conversation in our podcast Facebook group, Full Heart Free Voice Community. So we love you all so much. Thank you. And we will see you on our next episode. So be well. Thank you all so much for being here today.
This episode was produced by Emma Veritas and Caitlin Bosshart. You can find out more about me, Emma, at my website, wildauthenticity.com, where you can also download your free workbook, 3 Habits to Calm Your Fear and Get You Writing.
And you can find out more about me, Caitlin, at my website, caitlinbosshart.com, and on Instagram at caitlin_bosshart. The nicest thing that you can do for us is to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast player.
To stay connected with us, join the conversation in our Facebook group, follow along with us on Instagram, and sign up for our monthly newsletter. You'll find all the links in our show notes.
A special thank you to the amazing artists whose music is featured in our podcast, Wally Ingram, Stevie Black, and Tom Freund. You heard portions of their tracks, Shine a Light and Who Do You Love, from their record Spa Day.
And thanks to Caitlin Bosshart for creating our beautiful cover art. And thank you to Kirit Basu for all his audio and technical help.
And a huge thank you to Emma Veritas for her editing magic. Last but not least, thank you to you, our listeners.